Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, a show about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate, voice your concern, voice your opinion, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which is inclusion into society, which is living more independently in your home and in your community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is increase your network and you'll increase your net worth. And microphone number two is our hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. Greeting once again, our listening host. This is Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Again, I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Although I've been blind for more than 55 years, when I was a mere lad at 13, a firecracker, which is a big cherry bomb, exploded in my face and blinded me in both eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed and happy because I have been blessed. So, greetings, Sight and Vision listening audience. And how are you today, Miss Renee?
Well, like everybody else, I'm glued to my TV to see who's going to be the next president.
Oh, Miss Renee, I'm telling you, my sleep, what is that, circadian rhythm or whatever? What is it?
Your circadian rhythm.
Yeah, that thing. It's totally out of whack. With me trying to stay up and seeing if the next president, who's going to be, and they keep saying that they got the count coming, and then this count, and then it's whittling down, and I mean, it's just something else. But we're going to talk about some of that, and we're going to talk about that whole process and where we are with this. And I tell you, the thing is, I really never paid attention to the politics like this. I can say one thing. President Trump has definitely, for bad or good, have made people aware of what the government is doing and being involved, that's for sure. I think they say this the most votes in history in terms of the people that have come out and vote or sent in votes.
Yeah.
This is Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, and it affects us too, because we're part of the fabric of the United States as well as the world and this government. So we're going to have some of those discussion about all the aspects of that. So, Ms. Renee, would you let us know what our lineup is today?
Well, even without knowing who the new president is going to be, we're still going to have the adventures of Mr. Ray and Ms. Raven. And then in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, news which affects the disability and senior communities. And at the end of our show, you challenge us with your call to action. And today we're going to go off script a little bit, and instead of introducing a guest, we are going to be changing the format, and we're going to discuss this historic election. So back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All righty. So, you know, I like to start the show with the adventures of Reverend Ray and the German Shepherd seeing that dog. Then that is Miss Raven, number 7, and she is a wonder, something special. And it's brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And that wolf is spelled W-O-O-F, wolf, wolf. And they have top shelf pet food for your dog, your cat, those little gerbils that run around in circles in that little cage, and your goldfish and all types of equipment and tools that you might need. And please, you call 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And let them know you heard it on Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. And visit their website. That is www.thebigbadwolf.com. Again, that wolf is W-O-O-F, wolf, wolf. So the adventures of Reverend Ray and Miss Raven is that there's not much adventures because Reverend Ray is trying to stay in since he has some of those underlying medical situations. He can't be out there no more than he has to be, but some tips. One of the tips is that when you work in your guide dog or pet, and this for both, that one of the training aspects that came to my attention, and even, you know, as being a guide dog user for many, many years, sometimes we do things so automatically and we get into bad habits. And one of them is that when you're trying to get your dog's attention and your dog is doing something else, just saying come here or stop or no or whatever to the dog in conversation, it doesn't mean anything. You know, if the dog there doing something that has no business and you say, come here or, you know, something like that or no, well, the dog basically not sure, and especially if you're trying to call it, you not need to add his name to it. You have to say, come here, Fido, whatever the dog name is, or in my case, a Raven. Come here, Raven. But just to say, come, that don't mean anything to the dog. Or to say no. And you shouldn't use no a lot because no is real negative, and so many people use no, and you use no for everything. Come up, and you can always retrain your dogs. It's just take a little more patience and time. But come up with a different, now I won't say negative word, but a stop word. And I know some trainers use You know, some trainers use And I'm working on Raven with that. Instead of just saying no, I'm trying to work with because so many, you hear no so much just throughout the day that after a while, you know, like anything else, it just become white noise or whatever noise you want to call it. So try to come up with a word that special commands that you need to use to get your dog attention. I'm just talking about dogs now. Your dog attention right away. Try to come up with a word that they won't hear that often. So when they do hear it, it immediately will grab their attention. So like I say, you know, for me, I'm trying to get away from the word no and come up with the word with the phrase uh-uh for Raven. So we'll see how that go. So that a tip. Now the adventure, Reverend Ray, and he hope soon, but he don't know how soon that this virus going to be. I can't even. We're definitely not over. Think it's going to be with us like the flu, but manageable. I can't even say contained, but manageable. Where Mr. Ray and Miss Raven will be able to get out and have some adventures. So that's the adventures of Reverend Ray and the German Shepherd seeing that dog, Miss Raven, brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And that wolf is W-O-O-F, and please visit them at thebigbadwolf.com. And you can,
Reverend
again,
Ray,
call them at, yes.
I just wanted to ask you a
yes.
question. You know, I realize you have a working dog, you have a seeing eye dog, but a lot of seniors and persons with disabilities have companion dogs. Would the tip that you gave work for any kind of dog?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that. It will, Ms. Renee, it will work for any kind of dog, those tips. And I try to be more mindful of saying, in terms of a service working dog, in terms of a pet. But this will work for a pet as well as a working dog, that tip. And like I said, again, the dog hears throughout the day, a spouse might be saying, "No, I ain't going to do this to another spouse." The dog hear that a lot, especially if they got a couple that's married and they always beefing. You hear no all the time. So the dog don't need to hear that. So that's why you want to give your dog a different command that means stop it, okay? Because like I said, if he were a really confrontational a couple, he going to hear no like 1,000 times a day, okay? So anyway, thank you, Ms. Renee, for bringing that to my attention. And also another thing that the Big Bad Wolf does is they will – deliver. They will deliver, which is they always have delivered. But even in these times, everybody's delivering now. But they will deliver. So again, that's the Big Bad Wolf, number 202-747-3434. The Big Bad Wolf. Now, Miss Renee, over to you and our lineup for today.
Well, are we going to hear anything about the in the news, or are we just going to discuss that, the good, the bad, and the ugly news, which affects
that comes
the disability? So we're going to do that on the front end or the back end?
The half an hour, on the half an hour. We do that.
I got you. Okay. Well, sometimes I get a little confused, didn't take all my vitamins today. But as we mentioned to our listening audience, we are changing our format today to discuss this historic election. So, Reverend Ray, let me ask you, are you surprised by the delay of the election results?
Well, Mr. Renee, to be honest, no, I'm not surprised for a number of reasons. One, there is the president, and I want to be respectful, the President Trump, the incumbent. The incumbent, regardless who they are, unless they almost killed somebody and commit mayhem and murder, they always have an advantage. It's just inherent that they should be reelected. I think the last one-term president was Senior George Bush, and that was in 1992, I believe, when Bill Clinton became president. But usually, a president will serve two terms if they so desire. And so, like I said, it's sort of inherent that, that they didn't build relationships. Their party needs them, and also, I wasn't surprised that it was close. I was not surprised it was close. But what I was surprised and pleased and proud of, so that the Democrats, at least in the presidential election now, we won't talk about, and maybe we'll touch on the lower house, the House and the Senate didn't work out the way they want. And they put, I think, like over $200 million in trying to maintain the Congress, the majority in the Congress, and try to flip, as they call, to get more seats in the Senate. Because right now it's like 47, I think, to 50. Two or something like that, or 53 or something for Republicans. They've been trying to flip that. But if we touch on that, okay. But if not, the point is the question you asked me about the presidential. I thought it would be close, but the work that the Democrats done, and I want to give a shout out to in Atlanta, what is the sister name in Atlanta? What is her name?
Oh, Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to
Abrams.
Her for the Stacey Abrams for the tremendous work that even after losing the election, what was for governor, that, she did not tuck her tail and take her ball and go home. She got out there and put together a coalition, worked with some other coalitions, and that result of what you see in Georgia now in terms of of the vice president Biden getting the numbers he's getting and winning that. That, I'm telling you, that is principled because of her. She did not take her marbles and go home. She took those marbles and went out and got some more people to play with her. So anyway, I'm saying all that to say, and we'll come back on the other side. Just a tremendous work that the Democrats did with getting people out to vote by mail. So this is Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, and we will be back on the other side with our everybody else have a election slogan or vote or whatever. So Sight and Vision, vision for the next 4 years. We'll be back with our special show on the other side of the break. Bump out.
You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio, heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We're not in savings time anymore. Eastern time. Back over to you, Reverend Ray.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Renee. And so let me pick back up on that. So, again, I say that the sister in Atlanta did a wonderful job and is bearing fruit because I know when it started out and Tuesday when the election had gone, it almost seemed like a year ago, that they started the presidential election. And the president was leading something like, I don't know, 300,000 votes. So they figure like that was it. But what people don't understand, and we was hoping to have a guest to come in to talk about it, but what people do not, or most of the public don't understand, the votes that you send by mail in most states, those votes are counted after the people that come in person and vote. They take care of those first, okay? And then they take care of the mail-in votes. And then after the mail-in votes, they're what they call
provisional
votes. That's the third set of votes. Then they count those votes. And then there's a fourth set of votes, which is the military. Now, people that's in the military that lives overseas and all around the country, they get to send in their mail-in ballots. And the thing about it, depends on the state. Some states will give them 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days can be in after the election is closed. So these persons that are getting paid a little bit of money, I say a little bit of money, for what they're doing, volunteers, it is a lot of work, okay? It's a lot of work. But those are the four aspects of the four different pots of votes that you have looked. So they don't all come in one day and they all look at them. And then you have it depends on the size of the vote, believe it or not, the size of the paper, the ballot. And sometimes they go through the machine. If the machine don't read them, then the volunteer have to take and write it out on another vote and staple it to that ballot and then run it through the machine. If a ballot get hung up in the machine, with a lot of you all know, like if y'all, you know, ran anything through a copier machine, it do get hung up, all right? So they have to take that out, smooth it out, write it out, another one, attach it to it. And so it is quite a process. It's just don't you won't go in there and just grab these ballots and just count them. It don't work like that. So these people are doing a tremendous job.
Yes, they
go
are,
ahead,
and Ray. They need to be given credit. I just want to add to what you said. You were saying that the order that they count them, each state has its own way of doing it. Some states count their mail-in ballots first, and some states count their mail-in ballots afterwards. So nonetheless, these are unprecedented times. People were encouraged to mail in, and it seems to me all that I've been seeing and hearing on the news reports is that they anticipated this deluge of mail-in votes, but I think it still overwhelmed them. And and so, as you said, I would like to talk a little bit about those volunteers. I took the in the state of Maryland, they're called judges, and you can sign up to become one of the election judges. And what that means, you don't get a robe or anything, you know, nothing like that.
Oh,
but
okay.
You are trained. And when I went, if you didn't come to the training, of course, you cannot participate. But there must have been about, there were three classes of at least a dozen each volunteers being trained. And they gave us the booklet that looked like an old Yellow Pages. Now, anybody old is a senior on here remembers the old Yellow Pages. And they went through point by point what they wanted us to know. And, of course, we then were tasked with going home and doing our own reading. And there were a number of people in there who had a lot of experience, because no matter how much experience, the state of Maryland required that you come back to be retrained just as though you were a newbie. And so – I think the class lasted about 2.5-3 hours. Was held in the evening at the election board.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, as I said, there were three classes going on simultaneously with about a dozen each, and they went over this now. Traditionally, seniors have taken that role because they are able to change their schedule and take off. It's a full day. You have to be there when the polls open, an hour before the polls open. So the polls in the state of Maryland open at 7, so you're required to be there at 6 a.m. You must stay until the last person votes. The last person who votes is the person who was in line when the polls close at 7 p.m. So we're talking about a 13-hour day.
Okay, so let me just make this clear. So you say when the if the polls close at 8, 7 or 8 depends on what jurisdiction you're in, and that line is wrapped 3 or 4 times around the building, it doesn't matter. If those people are in line before the polls close, you all still have to process them, right?
That's absolutely right.
Okay, just that people understand it doesn't matter how many people in line.
Not matter. I don't know how they go about designating the last person in line, but there is a process. And once you get there at 6 a.m. in the morning, you are advised to bring your lunch because you are not allowed to leave the building. You are in there for the duration. And this, again, is to ensure the integrity of the count and the vote. And of course, you're issued an ID, et cetera, et cetera. So once you are inside, and then you begin the process. Now, COVID has changed a lot of the voting sites that normally would have been active at this time. And so in my city, they do not have city statistics because people in my city, which is Greenbelt, Maryland, were able to go all to anywhere in our county to vote. Here again, with this unprecedented COVID has changed the way a lot of things are done. So that put a distinct pressure on the senior communities, which we serve, and the disability communities. It meant that instead of going to your neighborhood to vote, you had to make transportation arrangements to go to get to the polls. And our jurisdiction had a call the bus. You could call a bus. You could call a bus, and they would take you, and you could vote. And then there was an informal network of people taking seniors and persons with disabilities to the poll. But it was quite an effort, and there was a lot of thought that went into it. And I just wanted to give people who have never volunteered to be a poll worker. Now, I don't know how poll watchers are. That's a different kind of a training. But they had Democrats and Republicans both in there training together, so we knew what we had to do. At one point, they asked us, you had to be able to lift, I think it was 20 pounds, because you roll the machine into the voting site and you disassemble it and assemble it there at the site, so that these polling machines come sealed. And so you unseal them, and then that's how that process goes. So, again, because of COVID, a number of seniors did not work this year, and that
right.
gave an opportunity for a number of people to step up. Many people are working from home. They have a little bit more control over their personal time, and so they stepped up to be certain that the polling places were well-staffed and that people coming in for early voting and on the day of the election could all be served and served as expeditiously as possible. So that's my take, and our guest will, when he arrives, will give us more information about that.
And Ms. Renee, and let me add this to it and your comment on it. Also, because of COVID, a lot of judges was persons, you know, that were seniors, and because they chose not, because of COVID, to participate, the people that stepped up and you know, and we take our hats off to them, but still. You know, it's a learning. You know, if this is not something you used to doing, you don't have the same experience. So, therefore, you know, things is going to take a little longer to do. So that's another reason why it's taking because we still have a couple of states that still are counting ballots. As it took and it's taking longer to process it because there are so many new people that's working, you know, counting the ballots and all right now. And those, you know, people, some of the people that did not choose to do it this time, those people have been doing it for years and years and doing it with the same people, so they was able to go in there and just like bam, bam, bam. And also a couple of things I just want to point out. First of all, that each state, as Ms. Renee said, they handle their voting process different. I mean, when the votes have to be in, when the votes are counted, when the votes are posted on the website, all of that is handled different. But it's handled different through the legislation of that county or state. All right, so it's not like these people come in and make up their own rules how they're going to do this. The legislation of that city, county, jurisdiction, they have already voted on how this is going to be done. Now, because of COVID and have changed the situation, a lot of things they had to just readjust to. If you heard of up in Pennsylvania, they know that they get so many ballots that they had to go to the court or the legislator and change how long, you know, that they can receive ballots and all, because they knew that it was going to be different. They weren't going to be able to do it in a day. So they had to go to the legislation and get it changed and all. So a lot of was done differently, but these administrators, they call them, that's in charge of posting the ballots, and they have like an administrator or straw boss, we would think of, in each little section of the city that's getting these votes and voting, and then that little section pass it up to the next group of people, and then they have an administrator over that, and then you have an overall administrator of the county or the state or whatever that received these have to verify them and all and then post them on the website. So every city, every state has a website that you can go to and see the posting of the ballots that's being counted. That's the music. As Reverend Ray said, when you hear that music, he got to go in his pocket and pay somebody, even if it's Miss Renee. But anyway, so back on the other side, we're going to pick up talking about this, I tell you, not just special, but I would say historic election. And I think it is historic in many, many ways. So back on the other side, Reverend Ray, bumping out.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium food. So if your dog needs it, they more than likely have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, so give them a call at 202-747-3434. You are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. Heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Back over to Reverend Radio Ray.
And welcome back to Sight and Vision, our version of the vision of the election of 2020. You know, 2020, we all know 2020 perfect sight. You know, and all, and somebody said that 2020, that's the last thing they will want to check in terms of sight. 2020, I mean, it's just so apropos. So that's the last thing they will want to see again is 2020. Because
right.
Just so much didn't happen and 2020, just so much didn't happen in 2020. But
I saw a little cartoon and it was really funny. And somebody said 13 is a really bad number. And somebody said, well, no, 666 is a really bad number. And somebody said, wait a minute, 2020 is the new bad number. So
I'm telling you,
I had to clean it up a little bit the way they put it. But I wanted to say something, have a little discussion about this. You know, you talked about the volunteers
One moment before, Mrs. Renee, because this is the section where we do
good,
the bad, the ugly, issues that affect persons with disability and seniors. I mean, I know you're all excited about your candidate winning, but let's get through this. Okay, and it's brought to you by Real Time Pain Relief, the best smelling, most effective Real Time Pain Relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. So, on the good is this, that we had a guest, and her organization is being kind enough to sponsor 10 to 20 blind individuals or families for Thanksgiving. And we want to really thank Miss Jean Drummond and her organization for that. That is a good. And this and during this time, Thanksgiving time, here again, Thanksgiving is not like it used to be, at least not for this year because of the COVID. There's families that usually like Miss Renee, I know and your younger, when you wore a younger skirt or dress, then you used to always go up and see your mother traveling in Ohio from the district.
Yeah, I mean, people, it was a big deal. It was more important to us even than Christmas, way. And I guess each family handles it differently. But unless you were a near death, you came home for Thanksgiving. And
right,
so
right.
It is going to be different. And seniors and persons with disabilities who are already feeling isolated by COVID, once again, this major holiday might very well be alone, but having a nice meal will certainly take the sting out of it somewhat.
Yeah, and we're going to have him back on the show again, our door-to-door grocer. Mr. Todd Tolson is going to be the one that's to deliver that, make that service happen for, like I say, 10 to 20 blind individuals or families. So we want to thank Ms. Jean Drummond and her organization for that kindness.
H-C-D-I. Now,
yes.
H-C-D-I.
And, and I can't remember what that stands for. Health Care something Dynamic and
Absolutely.
International. But anyway, we want to thank Ms. Jean Drummond for and her organization for that. Now, and the bad is, Ms. Renee, in housing for persons with disability, this was an inside conversation with one of the persons, one of the builders that had come to the council, Prince George County Council. And he's building, you know, getting getting all the licenses and stuff. And you have to get permission first to use the ground and stuff to build on. And one of the things that he was saying, and I don't know, I guess because I was blind, you know, had disability. He, you know, I guess something special he was saying to me. He said, "Oh yeah, and we're gonna have senior disability apartments, and we're gonna have everything in the disability apartment." I said, "Oh really?" He said, "Oh yeah, it's gonna be very accessible." He said, "We're gonna have talking microwave ovens." I said, "Oh wow." He said, "We're gonna have talking thermometers." He said, "Oh, we're just gonna have all kinds of stuff." I said, "Oh, that's great." And I say, senior and disability accessible. He said, "Oh yeah." And he said, "Even the senior, you can change it to accessible." I said, "Wow." And I say, "So, and this runs, and how much it costs a month?" He said, $35,000 to $4,000. I say, "Do you want to add affordable to that?" And that's nice, but I had to talk to him about affordable. And I said, you know, he needs to look at some programs. And I'm not, you know, sure about what is the program so many people do, Section 8. If that could be tied into it or some type of center program, that's wonderful that, you know, that he have all these disability accessories and, you know, and all. But if the people can't afford it, and I think, you know, and I know it's a lot of wealthy families that have, you know, persons with disability in their family that they will supplement. Because I tell you, a lot of people don't know, but they know of the type of facility that's a Riderwood is, that they have people with disability living up in there. I don't know how they can afford it, but Reverend Ray, well, I won't get that's another thing. But anyway, so to be able to afford to live in these accessible apartments, that's another thing. So, you know, so here again, that's why people with disability have to come out and support, make known their needs, and with their needs to, I won't say harangue, but influence or encourage or advocate for themselves to be able to have an apartment like this, but also be able to afford an apartment like this. Because most people with disability, SSI, SSDI, they are receiving a month anywhere from $500 and some to, you know, $1,200 and some. And I know there are some people that, you know, receive more than that, but on the average, that's about what a person. So I don't think they can afford a $3,500 to $4,000 apartment. And I asked him, I say, "Oh, is gas and electric included in that?" He said, "Oh, we're in some and some that." So that's another $100, $200, you know. So anyway, that's a bad. And then the ugly is, and you know, yesterday, which is the, let me get a date on this, it's November the 5th, the COVID, people that was positive with COVID was 120,000 people. Now, I didn't hear how many people died, but one thing I would say about the nominee for the Democrat presidency, Mr. Biden, him and his vice president nominee,
Kamala.
Kamala. I got to get used to that name because we're going to be saying it a lot for the next 4 years. Ha ha ha. That Harris, they went to a meeting to get an update on COVID. And I can really, really respect that, you know, that and doing a race like this, that they would take time out to get an update. But I think the president, and it looked like it's a foregone conclusion, it will be a Joe Biden, he will be inheriting the worst conditions of the United States since Roosevelt, since President Roosevelt, because you know when he became president, you know it was a depression, it was getting ready to go into war and all of that, and this is worse than that. I mean, we had 20-some million people out of jobs. We have, you know, so you know what our economics is, and then we have this COVID, this health situation. So he is really going to be inheriting a real, real bad situation. But just him going to, you know, during this time that he's not even president yet, but to be still concerned and going to a meeting to get an update. And he realized this is something when he come right in that we're going to have to be addressed. Now, our current president, that's obviously don't seem that important to him. But anyway, I just want to point that out, that he's going to be inheriting the worst condition that the United States has been in since President Roosevelt. You know, I just want to bring that out. So any comments, Ms. Renee, on this election? I mean, it's really, really. Let us look at it. It's, I think it's Georgia has not signed off yet, because I understand after all the votes and all, then you have 20 days to certify your count. But we still have ballots being counted in Pennsylvania, I believe, correct? And which that's
yes.
So important, because that is 20 electoral votes, okay? And that would put Biden over the 270, because right now he has 253, I believe. So that would put him on 270. And President Trump has 214. So he needs 56 to get there.
Yeah, 213. Yeah.
So he definitely needs Pennsylvania. And then Biden is winning, I think, only by 1,000 or 1,500. He passed President Trump last night, and he's like 1,500, and they're still counting ballots. And most of these ballots are from the hard work, again, that sister,
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah.
Yes,
Stacey
Abrams
did.
And Stacey Abrams has done a fantastic job in Georgia, yes. But, you know, people have gotten out and they have worked. You know, this election, there was a lot on the line. And you talk about Biden and Harris going to a meeting to learn more about COVID. I think this is, you know, the country has been so polarized by the comments and the attitudes of this administration. And, it's like we can't even have conversations with each other. The young people call it the cancel culture. If you don't agree with me, I cancel you out. And instead of trying to figure out how we can come to a middle ground, and a middle ground doesn't mean that you get everything you want, but if we're looking at what is good for the American people, that's what's important. And one of the points I wanted to make, you were talking about the current administration is challenging the volunteers and that they may have done something untoward to sabotage him. But
doing something untoward.
Exactly. But, you know.
Because they still count the ballots, yeah.
Citizenship in this country offers many benefits. But equally important is the responsibility of being a citizen of this country. And, you know, people have said, well, maybe they need to have professional people do the count instead of all of these volunteers. And, you know, even that is fraught with problems because professionals sometimes cannot take it as seriously. I feel like anybody who's standing on their feet and counting for 12 hours is giving something back in terms of their civic responsibility.
Yes.
You know, professionals, it just becomes a job. So, you know, what did the old commercial used to say? With membership, there are privileges. And the privilege is that you have both the benefits and the responsibility. So I think that that's important to talk about how people across the country have worked so hard to make this election possible.
And, Ms. Renee, we're going to get ready to go to our last break. And I would like you to come back and talk about the article that you wrote in the Greenbelt News Review of new voters and new citizens, what it means to be that. And that's why, you know, getting people out to vote, going out and doing the work that these coalitions did to get these ballots, get these mail-in ballots out, how important it was to make people understand that. But then on the flip side of that, us Americans who just because we're born here get these privileges, but what it means to people that come here to become a citizen. So back on the other side, this is Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, and our special topic today is covering what we call the vision of the election of 2020. Bump out.
You are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Back over to our special format discussing the historic election that we are in the middle of learning who our next president will be. Over to you, Reverend.
Ms. Renee, thank you. So I want to pick up again on what I was saying about a citizen, natural citizen that born, the privileges that we have that we only have to work at. And I think you to talk about the article that you wrote in the news review this week, that you interviewed a family that came here from another country, and three of the seven became citizens, and what that meant to them, and why we that's naturally born shouldn't take it for granted. And also, I think you have the form that you must the questions that citizens take to become a citizen. I mean, you know, an applicant take to become a citizen. And I think we gonna see how we doing because that naturally at least I was born here in the United States, and you was but you even though you're a dual citizen, you was born in England or the United States.
Yes. No, I was born abroad. But the thing of it is, you know, when you're under 18 years old, you do not have to stand for a citizenship test.
Okay.
And what I learned was that, yes, you don't have to stand for a citizenship test. But when you realize.
Now, that depends the country?
No, if you're under 18, you come with parents who qualify for a green card, even though the card is not green, it's orange, actually. The thing of it is, you have demonstrated that you're going to live in the country for 5 years before you can apply for citizenship. And it's not like you just go down and sign up. You have to answer some questions. And so I found it very interesting that we who ostensibly have been in this country for a long time, we might not be able to qualify if we answer this. So I'm going to jump right into the naturalization
test. Okay, so Mr. Nay, we're going to call this, are you a real citizen or not? Okay, go ahead. So let's see if Reverend Ray a real citizen or not.
Well, we expected our guest on here, so we thought it would be a little bit more competitive. But Reverend Ray, we'll pack your bags just in case.
Okay.
is one of the questions. The idea of self-government is in the first three words of the Constitution. What are these words?
Now, I would have to say, because of Vice President Biden's campaign, I know this, we the people. And I like the fact that he used that. Is that right?
Ding, 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 ding. That is absolutely right. Okay. Okay, let me go on. So what is an amendment?
What is an amendment?
What is an amendment?
Okay, well, just based on being part of so many organizations, amendment is when you change the something or add something to the Constitution.
Absolutely. Bing, 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 bing. Okay. Rev, you two for two. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
How many amendments does the Constitution have?
Oh, now, Mr.
How
May,
many
because
amendments? Does the Constitution have?
Now, Ms. Renee, because I'm black, the only ones I stopped at was 13, 14, and 15. I have not looked beyond them because they had nothing to do with me.
But here again, rights and responsibilities of being a citizen. There are 27 amendments.
Is it 27? I would have said 25.
Okay. Well, no, sir. So you're two for one. You're two right, and you got one wrong. Okay. Now let's go to the next one I chose for you. What are the two rights in the Declaration of Independence? What are two?
Well,
rights? There are more than two, but what are two
five,
rights
right?
in the Declaration?
Well, for black people, it's the right to assembly and right to arms. Those are two I remember that's important to me.
Okay. Well, it's the two rights of the Declaration are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
Oh,
so,
is that right?
With
them armed rifle, I figure I can get all three of them. But anyway, go ahead.
I think you're talking about the Bill of Rights. You're talking about
Yes. Okay.
But what are the two rights in the Declaration of Independence? Okay.
It pays to listen.
Okay. Now this is a hard one. Maybe I'll just give you the answer to this one and then go on to the next one. But what is the rule of law? I've heard a lot of that discussion on the news. The rule of law
doing the right thing, just following the rules.
Well, pretty much that's it. Everyone must follow the law. Leaders must obey the law. The government must obey the law. And no one is above the law. So that's the rule of law.
Well, we certainly have not seen that, have we? I mean, people paying attention to the rule of law. In the government in the last 4 years.
Okay, so you're 2-2, so let's see if we can get you ahead of the game. If both the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes the president?
The House of the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi.
Right, the Speaker of the House. Very good, Rev. Okay, so you're ahead. And this is my last one, so let's see if we can go out on a high note. What are two cabinet-level positions? There are a number of them, but what are two cabinet-level positions?
Well, one would be Secretary of Labor, and one would be Secretary of Education.
Absolutely. And those secretaries are Agriculture, Commerce, Defense, Education, you named, Energy, Health and Human Services, which are important to seniors and persons with disabilities, Homeland Security, Housing and Urban Development, Secretary of the Interior, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of State, Secretary of Transportation, Secretary of the Treasury, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, the Attorney General, and Vice President. Well, Rev, you went out on a high note.
Okay.
You got what is it, 4 out of 6 questions?
Four out of six.
Yeah, not bad.
That's
at all.
40%.
Okay, so we will keep your residency in place.
Okay.
Rev. In place.
Okay, so Miss Renee, we getting ready. Is that it for us for today?
I'm afraid so. The hour flew, didn't it?
All right. So real quick, before we go out, just a really quick about your article and how did the person, the family that received their citizenship. What can you just real quick synopsis tell us what it meant to them?
Well, it meant a lot, and you know, we talked a lot about rights and responsibilities, and it seems to me that people who are new citizens often come from countries where they could not vote. And for this family, this was the first time they had ever had an opportunity to vote. They had been in a war-torn country. They had come from Iraq. And so this was very, very important to them. So they did not take it lightly. And they studied the ballot. They had a discussion among themselves. There were actually four adults in the family, three young adults, recent college graduates and college students, and the dad. And the mom is studying because the requirement is you have to be able to read basic English and you have to be able to speak basic English. So oftentimes we're told that people come to this country and they don't speak the language and all. Well, if you've ever tried to learn a language as an adult, it is a challenge. So there is the expectation that they must answer certain questions, and if they're over 65, those questions are fewer. But voting is important, and I think the country, the United States, has turned out in big numbers to say, yes, it is important, and we are taking our responsibility and our right seriously. So, Rev, I'm going to let you close this out with your challenge to us.
Okay, so thank you, Ms. Renee, again, the hostess with the mostest, and I say this was a special show, and it was about what we call our vision, looking at 2020, the presidential election, and my call to action is, please get involved, you know, especially if you was born in this country, you have an obligation and a right to get involved, just to not be part of the problem, be part of the solution. All righty, and our motto for that we always say, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. Just keep going forward, all right? Don't just do nothing. Just please do something. This is Reverend Ray, and I wanted to say my time is up. We take you for your thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Reverend Ray. And I like to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision, vision, vision. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. Have an idea for a show? Contact us in all the usual ways. Email us at fnvradioshow@gmail.com. That's F, the letter N, the letter V, radioshow@gmail.com. Or give us a call on the phone at 301-377-6468. 301-377-6468. Want to listen up to a past show? Check us out at disability1radio.com. That's disability1radio.com. See you here next week at 3:00 Eastern Standard Time.